He was returning to his house the day before he was to fly to Brazil, which has a notoriously lax extradition treaty with the United States. Because of the crippling arthritis in his hands, he had replaced a normal lock-and-key entry with a push-button pad. He pressed the sequence and stepped inside, using his elbow to close the door behind him. A moving company had packed the few possessions he wanted to keep, while the rest was to be sold with the house. He crossed the foyer and made for his study to check the latest news on his laptop. The heavy wooden door closed behind him when he entered. He turned. A stranger had been hiding behind it. Had he been in a normal frame of mind, he would have demanded the person leave, but he just stood there mutely instead, staring at the man who had invaded his home.
Dr. Jenner, I presume.
Yes. Who are you? What do you want?
I paid you a great deal of money to help a friend not too long ago.
I am retired now. All that is finished.
Cooper sat straight on the sofa.
You can't kill me. Arrest me. Put me on trial.
And give you a stage to spout your demented ideas? I don't think so.
Cabrillo raised a gun.
Please!
The gun spat. Cooper felt the impact, and when he moved to touch his neck, he could feel something sticking in his flesh, but his claw-like hands lacked the dexterity to remove it. Cabrillo watched for 10 seconds as the tranquilizer from the dart gun coursed through Cooper's body. When Cooper's eyes closed and he slumped over, Juan brought a radio to his lips. Moments later, a big ambulance pulled up the drive, and 2 paramedics burst out the back doors pushing a gurney. Eddie wheeled the stretcher into the study with Franklin Lincoln. Link gingerly lifted Cooper off the couch and set him on the gurney. As soon as Cabrillo found Cooper's passport and a one-way ticket to Rio de Janeiro in a kitchen drawer, they rushed out of the house. A neighbor had come out of her house to see what was going on.
"He's had a heart attack," Juan told her, as he held open the ambulance doors so Link could slide the gurney inside.
45 minutes later, the ambulance arrived at LAX, and 10 hours after that, the corporation's Gulfstream touched down at Gardermoen Airport, 30 miles north of Oslo, Norway. It took another jet flight to Tromsø in the far north of the country and a helicopter ride to finally arrive at their destination. Cooper was kept sedated the entire time and was closely monitored by Julia Huxley. The glacier sparkled in the bright light of a summer afternoon, glittering as though it was the finest lead crystal. Outside the valley, the temperature hovered in the mid-50s, but on the ice it was just above freezing. George Adams had flown them in on an MD-520N, the replacement for the Little Robinson. This chopper was larger than the previous one and required some modifications to the hangar elevator, but it was also much more powerful and faster. And because it vented engine exhaust through the tail to counter the main rotor's torque rather than rely on a second, smaller rotor, it was significantly more quiet. The Oregon was positioned just off the coast, and Adams would fly them out once they were finished. Cooper was half-conscious by the time they touched down, but didn't fully comprehend where he was until another 15 minutes had elapsed.
"Where are we? What have you done?"
"Surely you recognize where we are, Dr. Cooper," Juan said innocently. "But then again, maybe not. After all, it's been more than 60 years since you were last here."